Andy was speaking about your generosity. Let me give you some concrete examples, because we are constantly amazed and affirmed how generous you are as a congregation. This past week was a banquet for the Dream Center. The Dream Center is a ministry that started a number of years ago by Mike Cooper in our community, and it's basically designed to build relationships in some of the poorest communities here in Lakeland with children, youth, and families, bringing our whole city together. And they've done a remarkable job of outreach, and of course, we support that ministry, and we're glad to be represented there at the banquet. But it's because of you we're able to support that strong ministry. But also, Talbot House has a banquet this week. Their annual banquet is a celebration of the goodness of that homeless ministry, Lives Changed. And we are able to be a platinum sponsor. We're the key sponsor for that event. But again, because of your generosity, we're able to do that. What I love about it is not just sponsoring an event, but that folks can show up who are homeless and find hope, find love, and find the love of Jesus Christ being shared there. And then we have another opportunity. Yesterday, we got word from Danny Higgins, who is the director of a ministry called Called to Serve Farm Workers. And many of the farm workers who pick our winter crops are returning now, and it was a very difficult season for them. As you know, between weather and the pandemic, it was difficult to find enough jobs for many of them, and crops did not produce what they normally do. So many of them came back just in the hole. They are barely getting by. And so there was a call for basic needs, especially for children. So we were able to take a carload of supplies yesterday of things that you and I might take for granted, snacks for the kids, but things like toilet paper, laundry detergent, and on were provided. All of that because of your generosity. This goes on all the time, and sometimes we forget that. We just see this building and the people here, but there is so much more that goes on. And every week I love sharing with you some of that, because it is true, it is wonderful, and it's coming up. In fact, Darcy, we're going to be receiving an offering for the children's home soon here. So be thinking about what you'll do to help that ministry in a couple of weeks. Another one that we love and are so grateful to support. Well, last Monday, I posted something on Facebook just a few days ago. Here's what I wrote. Kindness, the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Now, I was referencing that we're working through Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, especially Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23, which we call fruit of the Spirit. And I noted that this week we come to kindness, so I continued, what simple act of kindness do you remember being done for you? So people started posting their answers. Didn't take long for the answers to come. Let me share with you just a few. My boss helped me and gave me wings after 5 years of bullying, and I knew the story behind that. I knew it was real. I knew it had happened in a workplace. Many kind people, wrote another, checked on me after my surgery. Then one wrote, a friend out of the blue sent me a check. She had no idea that I'd just lost my job. Another one, referencing kindness, said, a friend last week let me stay at a home in Alamorada for a very much needed break. And then one wrote, I was diagnosed with cancer. I needed surgery, but I didn't have insurance. I didn't have the means to pay for the hospital. But then known and unknown angels took care of my hospital bill. This one fellow who I'd known in West Palm Beach wrote, so many people called every day when I had COVID. And then last Saturday, one wrote, I experienced being paid ahead at Baskin Robbins. That is, the person in front of them paid for their ice cream, whatever it cost. A kindness. Scripture calls us to be kind. In fact, it's one of the characteristics of a person of faith. It's part of what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. You can just see it again and again in Scripture. And of course, we read in Galatians 5, 22 to 23, as I reference, Paul says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He adds, there is no law against such things. There should be nothing to hold us back. There should be no impediment, no hesitation. In fact, I am convinced that we are starved for kindness. It seems to be a rare thing these days, though. Kindness is very important to us. There was a study done by the University of Texas. Professor David Buss cited this study, and they surveyed 16,000 people among 37 cultures. So this is a pretty good sample worldwide. And they asked this question, what is the most desired trait you look for in a spouse? And for men and women, the number one answer was kindness. Number one answer across the world, men and women, we need kindness. In fact, it is essential for life. Now, some people would take exception to that statement. They would say, no, kindness is a weakness. It shows that you're not as strong as you should be. When Scripture, and I would say experience, shows us that the opposite, in fact, is true. I don't know if you can remember back to Monday morning, the day after the Super Bowl in February 2008. It was a remarkable event that had happened the night before because the New York Giants had defeated the undefeated New England Patriots. The Patriots had gone all season, had not lost a game. The Giants were rated as the underdog, but in the Super Bowl, they beat them. And so that morning, the next morning, every newspaper said, upset. You know, the Giants beat the Patriots. But there was another story within that story. It wasn't just that the Giants had won, but the other big story was what had happened to their coach, Tom Coughlin. Tom had pulled off the shocker with something that he said was very different, kindness and being nice. So you have to ask, how do you win the Super Bowl by being kind and being nice? Because it sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? I mean, it seems like that's when you would be the least kind, the most aggressive. Now, the season had begun with Tom's boss, the owner of the Patriots, the Giants, grumbling about his previous record. In 2007, the Giants had gone 8-8. And so, beginning the season, the owner said, well, he's our coach this year, but we'll see what happens. You hear that? We could easily get rid of him, find another coach. So Coughlin decided that his leadership needed a makeover. He met with his veteran players. And for one of the first times in his life, he asked for feedback, honest feedback. One of the things they told him right off the bat, you yell at us too much. Of course, that's the antithesis of kind talk. You communicate too little and you listen barely at all, they told him. I mean, it came. He asked for it, they told him. But then something happened. Veteran player Michael Strahan, in commenting on Tom's change, said, well, it is a transformation, but I barely recognize him. I wonder if anybody would say something like that about you if you suddenly became very kind. Tom Coughlin spent 3 years trying to change his players, and it did not work. So you know what he did? He decided to change himself. He became kinder. And that's what changed his players. And you can't argue it because they all have Super Bowl rings right now. Everybody could see it. This call to kindness, it's an ancient one. Over 2,500 years ago, the prophet Zechariah called the people of Israel, to live that way. In chapter 7, verse 8, this message came to Zechariah from the Lord. This is what the Lord of heaven's army says. Judge fairly, show mercy and kindness to one another. Do not oppress widows, orphans, foreigners, and the poor, and do not scheme against each other. In other words, God expected more than a kind word or deed. God expects our kindness to be coupled with justice and mercy, especially towards those who are struggling or those who are at a disadvantage. This kindness is not necessarily what the world expects of us, but it is what God expects of us. Bob Carey once said, unexpected kindness is the most powerful, least costly, and most underrated agent of human change. Kindness is powerful, unexpected, but it changes lives. When we are kind, when you and I are kind, especially to those beyond our immediate circle of relationship, then we're part of something powerful, life-changing. So let me say it again. Right now we need kindness because our community, our nation, the world needs to change. It hasn't worked the way we've been going. So change begins with deciding what we need to get rid of as well as what we need to add in, put on. The writer of Ephesians, remember, talks about putting on the armor of the Lord. Well, in another section, in chapter 3, beginning in verse 31, he tells us something else that we need to put on. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. That's what we take off. But instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. That's what we put on. Thinking about that, what if we did just that? What if we sincerely and passionately worked at getting rid of all types of evil behavior, and instead we lived the ethic of being kind to each other? I believe that when all is said and done, we will have lived lives of no regret. No regret. A poem came across my desk a while back. Caught my heart. I have wept in the night for the shortness of sight that to somebody's need made me blind. But I've never yet felt a twinge of regret for being a little too kind. You hear it, don't you? No regret for even being a little kind. But folks, kindness has a way of adding up. Each act of kindness has weight, and over time, it makes a difference. I put this early in the morning on Facebook today because I want to start today, but I want to challenge you to do something. Not just hear a sermon and walk out and say, that was heartwarming, it was okay. Now, I want you to do something. I'm going to challenge you for 7 days to accept the kindness challenge. We'll call it the 7-day kindness challenge. That's pretty easy. At least once a day for 7 days, starting today, do something intentionally or maybe even randomly kind. I'll let you choose. It can be big or it can be little. You can mix it up. You decide, but do one intentional or random act of kindness each day for 7 days. It will add up. So I want to show you what I mean. I brought a real-life sermon illustration. It's a balance scale. You've seen them before. So let me put a little weight on this scale. Let's call this a heavy burden. It represents anger, meanness, hatefulness. It tips the scale, doesn't it? It's pretty easy to see what it does. And when we're willing to accept that, the scale is out of balance, and so is life. But what if, for 7 days, we decided to do something different, an act of kindness? Well, I may start with something pretty big. Doesn't tip the scale. But I'm not going to give up, because tomorrow, maybe I'll do something small. And still not enough to tip the scale. But then, the next day, I'll add one more. And it could be really frustrating that nothing has changed. It's still heavy the wrong way. But I'm going to continue, and I'm going to add one more. You see, right now, I have 4 acts of kindness there. I have 5, and I'm going to add that 6th. Maybe this is a moderate-sized kindness, but I am going to add it, and I can see that it's beginning to add a little motion, but the scale is still heavy. That 7th day, that might make the difference. I'm just going to take a small little weight, and it tips the scale. Folks, don't ever underestimate the power of continuing to do the Lord's work, because it can shift everything. It can make all the difference. It can turn darkness to light. One at a time. 7 days, let's do those acts of kindness. It is time to tip the scale towards a kinder, more loving world. And I believe that God has given us the key for doing this. Remember, there is no such thing as a small act of kindness, because every kind thing that you do has the potential to tip the scale towards goodness, healing, and restoration. So started thinking about the potential. There will be over 1,000 people that typically will watch this sermon. Some here this morning, some are on live stream, some will watch it through the week, but we know the numbers. Imagine if just 1,000 were committed to an act of kindness each day for 7 days. At the end of the week, that's 7,000 more kindnesses than we might otherwise have thought about or been intentional about. And the question is, why stop then? Why would we limit ourselves to 7 days? The Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit includes kindness. And this gift can change a life. It can change a church, a community, a nation. It can change the world. It is time for us to be kind. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the power of what we can do with our lives when we reflect your grace and love, your kindness towards us. Help us to be those persons who understand the love of Jesus Christ in such a deep and profound way that we would not hesitate to do all the kindnesses that we can. Guide us in everything we do, small or large, to tip that scale towards light, towards hope. With kindness and love, we pray. Amen. One of the things that has motivated me all these years as a pastor, and certainly as your pastor for many, is not to accept things as they are. That when it gets hard, I know there is hope. When it is difficult, we have this strength that surrounds us. And sometimes it is simple, like a gift or an act of kindness. It makes a difference because the world can be heavy, and yet together we bring change and we tip this in favor of God's love. Who in the world would not want that? To have darkness and hatred, anger and vitriol removed. To live in unity and love and peace. And you can make a difference. I challenge you for 7 days to live out an act of kindness. You choose. You choose where, whom you give it to. But don't let this opportunity go. As you go now in peace and go in love. Amen.